Thank you for your patience. Would you like to have your Bibles open at that second chapter of Matthew's Gospel? I'd like to lead our thoughts this morning in this Christmas Day message from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, and that sixth verse. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And the emphasis is going to be on this: out of you will come a ruler. This morning, I want to put something perhaps new into your minds that you may never have considered before, especially at Christmas time, that Christmas is at its very center very destructive. It is very, very destructive. Thanks be to God that it is. And I don't mean the letters that come after Christmas telling you how much you spent on your credit card, or the fight that there might be, the conflicts over the TV remote over Christmas. But Christmas is very destructive. It is spiritually destructive, and I realize that, of course, on Christmas Day you think that sounds negative. Wait, it is not negative at all, but the most positive message. Our text says, for out of you, that is out of Bethlehem, will spring or will come a ruler. King Herod had inquired of the people and the chief priests and the religious scribes and so on about the coming of the Messiah, the place of his birth. And the reply which they gave was the quote from the prophet Micah. So what you read here is what the prophet Micah had said. A ruler was coming. There was going to emerge a ruler. And it was that which put Herod into such a fit. A ruler. What a thought. And this morning I want you to think about this. Yes, Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Yes, he is God, he is Lord, he is King. But he is ruler, the baby who was born in Bethlehem's stable was born to rule. And this means that necessarily there is no room for other rulers. He is the ruler, the ruler. No other room for other rulers. That means that those who he rules over must conform to him. That's why so many people don't become Christians. They have worked it out. I must conform to his rule in my behavior, in my mind, in my manners, in my actions, in everything. He must rule. The conforming of our entire wills to him is for him to rule. And as the King of Glory, as we read of him in Revelation, he is the one who rules with an iron scepter. And I'll be saying something more in a few moments about this. In other words, he has the power of judgment in his hands also. Now let me tell you why this is a spiritually destructive thing, his rule. It is spiritually destructive in its nature. When he came to this world, there was already one ruler, don't you know? There was already a ruler, and I don't mean that puppet Herod or any other king. I mean that there was another ruler, and the Bible calls him the devil. I don't. I just tell you what the Bible says. There was another ruler. Did you know that the Apostle John says the reason the Son of God appeared in Bethlehem's stable was to destroy the devil's work? And as we follow the ministry of Jesus, you can see him in the wilderness temptation and afterwards, an encounter after an encounter after an encounter with the devil. In John 13, as he prepares himself to go to his death, now the prince of this world, the prince of darkness, is cast out, says Jesus. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of this world. Do you realize The devil is spoken of as the god of this world. And you read it this morning in the book of Revelation. He is the one who leads the whole world astray. He is the one who deceives, the authorized version says, the whole world. It means, friends, listen carefully, there are no holy pockets on this world. There are no holy enclaves or retreats to escape his evil influence. The world, the Bible says, is in the hands of the evil one. When Jesus came, there was a ruler. And this we have to understand. Do you know how extensive this evil rule is? Paul says this, that there are spiritual rulers, the forces of evil, even in the heavenly realms. His influence extends from earth into the very heavens. Now, doesn't this make the Lord's Prayer so wonderful? The Lord's Prayer does not say, deliver us from evil, as I learned by rote as a child. No, it says, deliver us from the evil one. You all prayed it, perhaps, the Lord's Prayer. Did you mean it? Did you realize what you were praying? Friends, Christmas is destructive. Thanks be to God, it is destructive of Satan, of this evil himself. Thanks be to God for it. Have you ever thanked God at Christmas that such was the destructive power of Christ's coming? Now, there is something more here. The devil, in his destructive power, is deposed. He is deposed with regard to his rule, but not so far as generally speaking in the world, but only in the hearts of Christ's followers, where Christ becomes the ruler. So you see the world at this very moment, look at it, under the governance of Satan's rule. Just look at it. Don't you think it needs a new ruler? Don't you think the hearts of the people of the world, really, don't you think they need a new ruler? I think you would all say, surely. Let me just show you. The devil's the ruler of money. Of course he is. Why else do you think? No surprise, the Bible says, money is a root of all evil. Because he is the one who is able to control it. Money is a root of all evil. He takes the beauty of sex and he poisons it. The necessity of economics, and he imbues it with greed. Of course he does. Politics, and he drives it by selfish ambition and corruption. And boys and girls, this is why when you read C.S. Lewis, and The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and what has the witch done except made the world always winter? Because everything that she touches is affected by her power. And so it is, Paul says, the devil is the god of this world. Absolutely everything that he touches leaves a mark on it. It shows itself to be broken and ruined and messed up. It is winter in the hearts of all those people for whom Christ is not ruler. I mean, look at it. The devil even sees us Christmas. He even sees us Christmas and squeezes the very life out of it, leaving it nothing but an empty bauble with nothing of Jesus Christ in it. Friends, we need a new ruler. We need a new ruler, as the Bible says, so that he can go to the house of the strong man and despoil his goods. Which is what the Lord Jesus Christ does when he comes into our lives. That is exactly why he came. Let the church rejoice that Christmas is spiritually destructive. God would want us to rejoice in such a truth. I say to all of you, for the sake of your children, for the future, there is there very much for us to hope in. With regard to the gospel of Jesus Christ. there is very much to hope in. Now, let me put a bit of flesh on the bones with regard to his rule. He came to rule first and foremost in our hearts, because it's there that we exhibit the most obvious trait of Satan's power. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? We need a new ruler because our hearts are wicked. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you ever thought about that? The way you speak is essentially because of what is in your heart. The Bible says it is the heart which condemns us. We need a new king of hearts. And Jesus is that new king. We need a singleness of heart which only Christ can give, so that we can serve him and love him as he should be served and loved. We need a new believing heart, because it is with the heart that man believes unto salvation. You'll never believe in Jesus Christ with that old heart of yours that you were born with. No, because Satan has ruined it so badly. You need a new believing heart. Jesus must do violence to Satan and to his kingdom for me to have a new heart. I rejoice that Christmas is spiritually destructive. Do you know that under that old ruler, Satan, it's possible for someone with such an old heart to say to someone who's wronged them, I forgive you, and just use the words but not really mean it in their hearts. But for somebody with a new ruler, that new ruler Christ, it's impossible to say, I forgive you, except it be from the heart. He rules above all else internally. He rules in the heart. Do you remember when he came to Lydia? I preached about Lydia recently, that businesswoman, that seller of purple. Do you remember I told you about her? It says that God sovereignly came and he opened her heart. He didn't give her a checklist of things to do, of things that she must observe, and things that she must tick off and get right and works. No, not at all. But he came and he became the new ruler of her heart. Christ came to destroy the rule of Satan, to put us under his rule, so that we would have his gracious direction and we would have his loving rule all of our lives. What are the implications? Well, the implications are that I am now under new ownership. Anybody who has become a Christian, who is ruled by Christ, is under new ownership. The old ruler was a despot. You know what that means, don't you? A despot, a tyrant, an oppressor. Yes, the one who traded in fear and in guilt and a seared conscience. He was brutal and hurtful to my life, to your life, injured and plagued by this thing and the next. He worked condemnation to us. The Bible says he kept us all of our lives in the fear of death. What a despot. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to free us from him forever. But do you know what comes with this new ownership? Let me quickly tell you. Oh, this is beautiful. What comes with it is security. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Are there any Christians here this morning who have lost sight of what it is to belong to the kingdom of God? He is the ruler of that kingdom, and he has brought me, if I am a Christian, into that kingdom so that none can assault me. So that I cannot be shaken. The foundation of that kingdom is fixed by its ruler. He has built the entire edifice. He has brought me into it, into that kingdom, he says, that none can perish. Not possible. They cannot suffer loss. They cannot be overthrown. They can never be asked to leave that kingdom, because he brought them into it to rescue them from the power of that ruler who we call the devil and Satan. What security has God given to everyone who has become a Christian? But there are implications, and you can think about these as you go off into Christmas Day. Implications which result from this new ownership. What are those implications? Well, when Christ rules in our hearts, he rules to do good to us. All my life that I have been a Christian, my master has never done anything but good to me. All my life since he saved me by his grace, he has done nothing but good. Ever since he came to rule, he has always done good. He who began a good work in me, says the Apostle Paul, he began a good work in me, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Every Christian can surely testify to the good work that Christ has done. Satan's work was destructive. Christ's work is good. This morning, if you're not a Christian, the one who rules in your minds and actions and behavior is working to bring you to everlasting destruction and judgment. But the Lord's work in us is to rule in us, to do us good. Isn't it a good work? That he saved us? Isn't it a good work that he pardoned us? Isn't it a good work that he redeemed us? Isn't it a good work that he put the Holy Spirit of God into those who believe? Isn't it a good work that he transformed us by his power? A good work to call us into his family? A good work to call us joint heirs with Christ? I can go on and on. Isn't it good? Isn't he good? Isn't he good? He is so good. In his rule over us, there are people who are afraid if Christ comes to rule their lives. It will be good. Friends, it will be good. He will work my eternal good. And in this life, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Christ came at Christmas to work spiritual destruction upon his enemy, the devil, and to work spiritual good for my everlasting salvation and for all who believe. Well done, boys and girls. I know it's Christmas. You're waiting to get back. Open your presents. I'm nearly finished. There's one final thought. And it is like this. The Lord Jesus Christ is seen in the book of Revelation as the one who rules with an iron scepter. You can't take that away from him. He rules with an iron rod. Three times in the book of Revelation we read this about him. It's to convey to everyone so that everyone might know that Christ is not benign. The baby born in the stable, as we think of at Christmas time, is the one who rules with an iron rod. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, for Jesus Christ to come against us in wrath and in his anger. He has defeated his enemy, our enemy, by his work upon the cross. But do you know what? Almost everyone prefers darkness. They prefer the status quo. If I talk to people, they say, leave me alone. I'm all right as I am. That's one of the most common things that people say. Just leave me alone. I prefer my state of darkness. Jesus says, will you have your rightful owner, or will you keep the one who rules over you now? I'll be your rightful owner, but you must bend the knee. Oh, this is humility. Like the kings, like the shepherds, like all of us who have become Christians, the Lord calls out to us at Christmas, says, bend the knee. Let me rule over you. Follow me, leave your master Satan, leave his influence, and come and follow me and let me rule over you. Do it quickly, as I read in Psalm 2, lest the sun be angry with you. Do it quickly, for it is possible for his anger to break out and for him to turn upon us in wrath. For Christmas, I would say, don't let his rule be lost in this life. Don't let his rule of love pass you by. Don't let his rule of grace and mercy and compassion pass you by. Because if you do, there's only a fearful day of wrath. Only that left. You don't want him to wield that scepter of iron. But surely you want him to rule over you with grace and loving kindness, and he will do for anyone who comes to him. Christmas has a wonderful message, and we try not to miss it every year, but to get at the heart of it. Just quickly to say to any of you, if you think the Christmas message is just that quaint little romantic picture of Jesus in the hay and some starry characters gathered around him and some shepherds and the sheep and the rest of it, you've missed it. The ruler of this world lied to you. He took away from you the real message. Oh, that tells you of a power, doesn't it? What a power. To be able to do that in the whole world and to hide away from the hearts of people the true glory of the Christian gospel. Well, I, for one, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not putting up with that. I'm not letting the devil have the voice. I'm going to make sure that I speak up for my King, and that this church, by the grace of God, will always do so. Thanks be to God that Christmas is spiritually destructive, and to all those who believe are set free by the glorious good news of the gospel. That everlasting salvation is for everyone who believes. That's what Christmas is really about. And that's the message this morning for this Christmas day. Take it with you. Try to remember some of it. Well done, Joseph. You've been absolutely brilliant. Well done, love. And all of the other young people. And you, Rosa. Well done, love. May God bless his word to us. Amen.
Amen. Amen.